Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. And we'll be reading a portion out of there shortly. Bishop Gerland Kennedy of California, tells the true story of a shipwreck in Lake Michigan off the coast of Evanston, Illinois, many years ago. So this is an old but true story. The students of Northwestern University came to the rescue. One student, Edward Spencer, personally rescued the lives of 17 people. Can you imagine that? Cold waters. And he did it that day. Years later, a reporter was writing a follow-up story on the event and went to interview the elderly Spencer. When asked, what was the one thing that stood out above all in the incident? Spencer replied, listen to this carefully. He says, I remember that of the 17 people I saved that day, not one of them ever thanked me. Wow. Can you believe that? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Please stand with me if you can. While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And while they were going, they were cleansed. But one of them, how many?
One.
But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet. What was he doing? Thanking him. And he was a Samaritan, not even of the nation of Israel. Then Jesus said, were not ten? Notice, Jesus noticed this. Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he told him, the healed Samaritan, get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. You may be seated. I'd like to pray before we move on. Father, I pray that you would be working in us the attitude and the behavior of one who is grateful, especially to you for all that you do in our lives and have done in the past. Thank you for each one here, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts as we're approaching the national holiday we call Thanksgiving. I pray that it will not be a hollow holiday, but that we will truly be thankful, not only on that day, but every day, for you and your many blessings. Thank you for hearing our prayer, and I pray that you would open our eyes as we look at some scriptures and consider how important Thanksgiving is to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Is it a secret or a surprise that God wants his people to be characterized by a thankful attitude as well as to give expression to that thankful attitude? And to do it regularly in praise and thanksgiving. Is it a surprise? How many of you are reading through the scriptures this year? Several of you. Is it a secret if you read the scriptures? There's a lot of places. I was just reading last night, skimming through the 100th Psalm and a few of them after that. Not everyone, but most of those psalms in that section of the book of Psalms talk about being thankful. So if you read your Bible regularly, you already know that it's no secret. And it's no surprise that God does want his people to be characterized by a thankful attitude. And not just a thankful attitude, but an inward and often outward expression of that attitude by the giving of thanks to God regularly. And also before others. If God's blessed us, why don't we tell others what he's done in our lives? He doesn't want us just to be thankful on Thanksgiving or on Sunday or on
Monday.
Yes. Every day. And just once a day? Well, I think it's throughout the day. In light of the 10 lepers, and that was a wow, wasn't it, when you realized only one out of 10. And then the story of this man, Mr. Spencer, who saved 17 from drowning and never heard a word of thanks from any of them. Never. It's not a thing that is very natural for people. There's a few unsaved people who are ready to give thanks, but it's not a common thing. It's not in our Adamic nature to do that. But as believers, those who have been redeemed by Christ, it should be. So, in light of the 10 lepers and only one being thankful, I wanted to list 10 things that came to my mind quickly that we can be thankful for. And I wrote down a verse or two for each one. So if you'd like to take down the verses and look them up for yourself later, you can do what you want. But I left the notes blank so you had lots of room to do whatever you need to do or want to do to remember. Number one, we should be thankful because it's good and a right thing to do. Psalm 92, 1 through 2. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High, to declare your faithful love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." A second thing that we should be thankful, because God is good. Is that true? Yeah, we can praise him all day long for that. Psalm 106:1 says, "Hallelujah." There's that word that was in Revelation. What does it mean?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, yeah. Praise Yahweh. It begins, "Praise Yahweh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." I love this expression. It's a lot, again, a lot in some of those psalms in that section, 100 to 100 and almost 50. "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." And that's repeated also in the psalms a lot. And it's true. And we'll experience the forever part of it in eternity. But for our lifetime, it's also true. That's the beginning of forever. A third reason, we should be thankful because God is faithful to keep us growing. He's maturing us. We sometimes call that practical sanctification, right? Let me read to you from 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24. And this is the benediction of Paul's letter to the young Thessalonian church. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it." Now, did you notice that he had talked to the Thessalonian church about Christ's return for the church in the clouds in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18? He had told him in chapter 1 that they were awaiting the return of Christ from heaven. And then he said the fact that God has not destined us to wrath, the coming tribulation, or for eternity either, as far as that goes. The fourth reason that I came up with that we should be thankful is because Jesus cares for us like a good shepherd. Did Jesus tell us that? He did, didn't he? John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, and actually even beyond that, where he talked about keeping us in his hand and we're in the Father's hand. No one can snatch us out of either of their hands. This is how it begins in John 10:11. Jesus speaking now. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Did Jesus? He lays down his life for a sheep, the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and he doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. Who are the other sheep? Gentiles. Us. Most of us. A fifth reason, because of God's unfailing love. Now that is the one I just pointed out in some of the other Psalms. But Psalm 136:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures." How long?
Forever.
And you'll see that in Psalm 92, Psalm 106, and many other psalms. I love those words. And I love it when it's even repeated in a psalm. And it is in one of, not the ones I mentioned, but another psalm that I looked at last night. It's repeated 3 or 4 times in the first 5 verses. His faithful love endures forever. Can we give thanks for his faithful love that endures forever? Certainly. Another reason we should be thankful is because of God's righteousness. Aren't you glad that God always does what's right? He never does what's wrong. That's righteousness. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will thank the Lord for his righteousness. I will sing about the name of the Lord Most High. Who do you think wrote that one? David. Yes. He loved to sing praises to God, and he wrote a lot of psalms, and almost all of those could be put to music, and I'm sure a lot of them were in the Old Testament times for singing at the temple. We should be thankful because of God's grace. What does grace mean?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
That's a good acronym for it. Yes, grace has to do with the fact that God gives us favor. And we learn that Ephesians 5:8 says that we don't deserve it and we can't earn it. But God's grace, his favor, comes to us. We should be thankful because of God's grace. So I'm going to read those verses in Ephesians 2:5-8. He made us alive with Christ even though we were dead in trespasses. We were all sinners. At one time, we were spiritually dead. And that's what he says, he made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace, God's favor. He acted independent of us to deal with our sin issue. He also raised us up with him. Those who trust in Christ, he's talking about what happened when we believe. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. We should be praising God for that gift of grace and salvation. An eighth reason we should be thankful to God is because He is the ultimate source of everything good. Where is that found? I heard someone say it.
James.
Yes, James chapter 1. James 1, and it's verse 17. This is what he wrote there in verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He stays the same. He gives every good thing that comes in our lives. And He will never change. He'll always do that. A ninth reason we should be thankful is because of the wonderful salvation He provided for us. That might be the good way to start the day, is to thank Him for His wonderful salvation. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts, and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. So first of all, He saved us, and then He wants us to live different from everyone else in the world who doesn't know Christ. And He says to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. That's the one we're living in right now, isn't it? While we wait for the blessed hope. What is that blessed hope? It says the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming in the clouds for us. He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for Himself a people for His own possession, eager to do good works. God's doing some good things in our lives, isn't He? He's changing us, and He's causing us to be eager to do good works. If you want to read about good works and how God wants that in His children, read Titus, because he mentions it 3 or 4 times in there, that God has destined us to do good works. The 10th reason I wrote was we should be thankful to God because of the forgiveness of our sins. And Colossians 1:13 and 14 is written, He has rescued us from the domain of darkness. That's the domain of this world's God, who is
Jesus Christ.
And no, He's not the God of this world right now.
Oh.
Yes, that red dragon in Revelation, who's called Satan, the devil, and another name or two there in Revelation. He's the God of this world. But God, through Christ, has transferred us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His Son He loves. And He goes on to say, in Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. While I just gave you 10, you may be thinking of a number of other reasons to be thankful, and you should be. It's good. Because there are many, many, many other reasons. I just picked 10. Let's return. If you see in the bulletin, the title is How Important is Giving Thanks? Let's return to that thought again. How important is giving thanks to Him? Well, a passage that came to my mind as I thought about this was Romans chapter 1, and you might want to turn there. I'm going to be quoting a few verses there. But it gives you an idea of God's attitude towards thankfulness. Man, having trouble here. There we go. Pardon me? Oh, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. It says, for God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress or hold down, push out the truth. Since what can be known about God is evident among them, because God has shown it to them. I think he's referring here to creation. all of creation. It reflects God. And only those who do what he's talking about here, who suppress the truth that can be known about God and is evident to them, when they suppress it, look at what happens. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world. Creation, again, is the thing that demonstrates that God exists and some about him. It's being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. Without excuse. For though they knew God, now notice what happened. Because they were suppressing the truth about the knowledge of God that was evident to them. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show, what's that word? Gratitude, thanks. Instead, their thinking became, what?
Futile,
worthless, empty. And their senseless hearts were darkened. Think about it. How many times have we seen this? This could be talking about the time between Adam and Noah. Adam, the first man. Noah, God's judgment on the whole earth, because it tells us in Genesis 6 that all the thoughts of the intents of their hearts was only evil continually. He had to destroy the earth. By the earth. He had to destroy the people on the earth. Except for Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He and his three sons, their wives, and his wife. Okay, how about between Noah and Abraham? When God chose Abraham, same condition. Everyone was suppressing the truth about God. How about today? I believe that this is an expression of what happens every generation. And even for Christian families, if their children reject the truth of God, it's one generation. We're just from believers to unbelievers, people like this. And their minds become senseless and darkened. I want to read to you, and notice the ingratitude is part of that suppression. Barnes wrote this: the effect of ingratitude is to render the heart hard and insensible. Second thing he said, people seek to forget the God to whom they are unwilling to give thanks. And it happens. I mean, you can see that in people all around you. And then my comments. One's affections are placed on things like the sun, the moon, the earth, on man-made idols, anything that we can make, money, houses, you can go on and on. And even on people themselves. Some people almost worship a person. They also may worship evil spirits. We call that the occult, right? It's all around us today. Remember Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18 and the world system that John wrote about in 1 John 2, 15 through 17? That's an expression of, first of all, suppressing the truth about God. Not being thankful, and then all that follows. I'd encourage you to read that from verse 18 all the way to the end of chapter 1 of Romans, and you'll see the final end of all of this. It's concluded in several times in the last part of this chapter that God gave them up, or gave them over, to do what they wanted to do, to really mess things up. That's as bad as it can get when God gives over a person or gives them up. So the thing in this passage I would like to focus on is giving God thanks. You can't forget about God if you're truly thanking him, can you? You can't. I personally don't want to become insensitive to the goodness, the grace, and the kindness, the unfailing love of God. Do you? We have a great Savior and a wonderful salvation provided for us and given to us. We don't deserve it. We don't. We didn't earn it. What we do deserve is His justice and His judgment. If we got His justice, we'd spend eternity in hell, right? We got His grace in Christ. Totally different direction for us. So, let me ask you a couple more questions, three more. Are you thankful for His salvation? Are you thankful for His daily grace, His favor and kindness to you? Do you take notice of these kind blessings and in turn give God thanks? That's the issue, isn't it? Are we going to be thankful or are we going to forget the giver and the gifts? So Romans 1:21 indicates that God wants and expects from mankind the honor and the gratitude which is due Him as the Creator and Sustainer of life. But for us who are recipients of His salvation, we have forgiveness, adoption, eternal life, and much more. He most definitely wants to hear our thanks, and He wants to hear it often. And He deserves to hear it often. He's due that thankfulness and that expression of it. Let me give you some passages to think about before Thursday rolls around this week, the day that has been set aside for Thanksgiving. The first one is Ephesians 5:17 through 21. The second one, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And also in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17. You probably know those verses. Good to read again. And how about Hebrews 13, 15 through 16? And I should have given this when I gave you the Ephesians 5, 17 to 21, but Ephesians 5, 1 through 4. I would encourage you to spend some time reading and thinking on these passages. It's very clear to me, and I trust to you, that the child of God is to be characterized by gratitude and the actual giving of thanks. Let me give you one more thought to consider. How am I doing on time? Good. One more thought. It is easier to be thankful when we are satisfied or content. Would you agree? So there's another attitude that we should be working on because they go together and they encourage each other. Content with what we have. We have salvation. What more should we ask for? Conversely, it's harder or just plain difficult to be thankful when we are not content. Would you again agree? Paul, in writing to Timothy, said, "But godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either." I've heard of people being buried in their luxurious car. It went as far as the ground. They didn't take it with them. And it didn't take them with it. And he goes on to say, "And if we have food and covering," in other words, food and clothes, maybe a shelter, With these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Those things take us away from God. That was 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9, by the way. So I want to close with the fact that contentment and sincere gratitude are hand in hand. They go together. May God grant to you and me both contentment with gratitude so that we may bring glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, we could spend hours thanking you for all the marvelous things you have done, and especially those things that you've done for us as individuals. Lord, help us to never get tired of thanking you for our salvation. Help us to never forget your hand in our lives daily. The fact that you want to change us to prepare us more for service to our Savior and to become more like our Savior so that it isn't a big shock when we meet him in the air, but we'll feel at home. Lord, help us to be content, and especially help us to be thankful to you. Help us also to be thankful to one another and recognize what other people do to us as well and share with us. Lord, thank you for the family of God. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.